Now, also we have the reference to Ori Choshev Chemez. It says, Rashi brings, when Yaakov met Rachel, it says, Vayisa et Torah Vayesh, he cried, and he says one of the reasons that he cried is because he didn't have any presents to give her. When Eliezer came to meet his mother, Rivka, he came with laden with presents from Avraham Avinu, and he came penniless, and he met Rachel, had nothing to give her. And Rashi then tells the story, which actually happened, I guess, in the margin between Tosfos and Vayetzei, that when Yaakov Avinu left Be'er Sheva, then he ran away, so Esav sent his son Eliphaz as a shliach after him to kill him. And when he came to him, so he said he wanted to kill him, but since he had hashpah from the house of Yitzchak, he didn't want to kill the tzaddik Yaakov Avinu. But he said, what should I do? I've kiven av, my father told me to kill you. So he said, Yaakov Avinu said, look, I have a good Esav for you, take all my money, and Ori Choshev Chemez, and with that way, without killing me, you'll technically have been mekayim the tzivah of your father by killing me. So here we see a reference to the second one of Ori Choshev Chemez. Then we say also it says that Rivka said, Rachel said to Yaakov Avinu that Havili Bonan Vim Ayin Nesa Anechi. And he said, she doesn't say that I will die, or Moose, but Nesa, I am dead. If I won't have children, I am dead. And for that, we see that Misha Ein Lebonim Choshev Kenes. That it's actually true. If she doesn't have children, she's Choshev Kenes, Choshev Kenes. It's as if she's dead. So, here in this parsha, we have a reference to three of those who Chazal called Choshev Kenes. So, I think maybe we could, give a little remez of why these three things are mentioned here. If we look carefully into the parsha of Yaakov and Lavan and some of the difficulties. So we're going to start with the first meeting of Yaakov with Rachel. So the pasuk says, "Vayhi kasher ro Yaakov et Rachel." Was when Yaakov saw Rachel bas Lavan achi imoy. The es tzoin Lavan achi imoy. He set eyes upon Rachel and the tzoin. Vayigash Yaakov vayogos oven malpia be'er. So he went over and he took the stone. He rolled the stone which needed all the rolling to take it off the be'er. He himself took off the be'er. Vayashkas tzoin Lavan achi imoy. And he gave the tzoin to drink. So Rashi says, Vayigal k'odim shemavres apkak. It's like someone takes a cork off the barrel. In other words, he did effortlessly. He took off the stone. And this comes to tell him that he was, in the simple pshat, that he was very strong. And here again, the Pashonim, yes, first of all, why is it so important to tell us that Yaakov Avinu was very strong? If he's a strong person, he's a strong person. That is great. The great mile of Yaakov that he was so strong. And if we look into the pasuk, it seems that there is one pasuk, but that it was the fact that he saw Rachel and he saw the tzoin, that's what enabled him. Because of that, he went and was able to do it effortlessly. Well, it wasn't that he didn't want to do it before, for the other one to take it off. It was no effort. He would have done it for others. But it was only now, when he saw them, that he was able to effortlessly take it off. So, Reb Chaim Shulevitz used to point out always from the pious of what we say in Tfilas Geshem, that it says there, Yichad Leiv V'gol Evan Malpi Be'er, that through his great concentration or purposefulness, since he was so purposeful, in this case he was able to take it off and he expanded very much on the idea that a person who has many times, he has different strengths which are not revealed even to himself. However, if a person has determination and determination, purposefulness, he's able to do things that he wasn't able to do before. So Rashi does say that La'idiyecha shekoicha gadol, that he actually had this strength. And we have to see where it came from. It says when he saw Rachel, but also it says not only when he saw Rachel, but when he saw the tzoin. When he saw the throne, this is what gave him the determination to reveal the hidden strength that he had in him to take this stone off the Pivaer, this big boulder to take off the well. So, if we look at the end of the parasha, when Yaakov Avinu was leaving the house of Lavan, it's a very, very interesting dialogue between Yaakov Avinu and Rachel and Leah. Should the Mefarshim also point out that Yaakov Avinu said that to them, "Vayomer Eli Malach Elokim b'chalom Yaakov Vayomer Hineni." Yaakov said over that he had a dream that the Malach came to him and he told him, "Now it's time to go. Time to go back." You know, like Atah Kum Tzemi Na'or Tazoyz V'Shuvu Eretz Ma'aretecha. You have to go back to Eretz Canaan now. So where did Rachel Valea, the Yimayis, the Victor Kanyas, Rachel Valea, where did they answer? V'Tan Rachel Valea V'Toyman Aloy. They answered him, Ha'oy V'Lanu Chelet V'Nachal V'Beit Avinu. Do we relate anymore to the house of our fathers? Ha'oy Nachriyot Nechshav Nuloy. We're strangers in his house. He sold us. And he took everything away from us. Really, it belongs to us in the first place. So we have no reason to stay there. Now everything Hashem tells you, do. In other words, listen to Hashem and go back to Eretz Canaan. And seemingly, this is an amazing answer for Rachel and Leah, the Emmaus. They say, look, well, we have no reason to hang around our father's house anymore, we're strangers here, so if we're no reason for us to leave, it's that we might as well go and listen to Hashem. The answer should have been immediately, Hashem told you to go, go! The whole thing should have said, whatever Hashem told you, Hashem gave you a tzivui to leave base love and go. What's all this? He's treating us like strangers, and he took away our money, as if we need a reason to listen to the tzivah of Hashem. And I think that the pshat is that actually this was a major point. Yaakov Avinu, in order to take Rachel and Leah and the tzoyin with him to Eretz Canaan, he was waiting for this answer. In other words, the avodah that Yaakov did in base Lavan was to distill, to take out all the good that it was that they had still from base Avram, whatever good was here, which was incorporated in Rachel and Leah, and even in the moment of Lavan, to take it out, to leave over the Pseiris, to leave over all the tumor that was in which was in base Lavan, and only take out the purest distilled good, the purest gold to take with him back to Eretz Canaan. So until Rachel and Leah came with this answer and said, we're nechriyos, in other words, we don't relate back anymore to the house of Lavan, so it wasn't time yet for him. He wasn't able to take them back to Eretz Canaan. But when they came and they gave this answer and said, nechriyos nechshavnu, we're strangers, therefore he realized that he had accomplished his mission. He had taken out all the good that was for them, and he separated them totally from Lavan. So therefore, that was a very important. Their answer wasn't that you didn't have to listen to Hashem. Yaakov Avinu was waiting for this answer of hearing of Nachriyas Nechshavnu. So from this, we see that the reason why Yaakov Avinu revealed his strength when he saw Rachel in the Tzoyin. Is when he saw Rachel and the Tzoyin, he saw his mission in front of him. In other words, until a person sees his, many times a person has a lot of latent latent koiches that he has, which he's able to use for all different things. However, until the time comes, he doesn't know. He doesn't even know that he has those strengths and those qualities. But when he's faced with the mission and he sees his purpose, therefore the strength is revealed. Therefore, when he saw Rachel and he saw the tzoyim, all of a sudden his great strength was revealed. The great strength which he needed to work for all the years, which was necessary to take out the Kedusha, to distill the Kedusha from the bias of Lavan. So therefore, when he saw Rachel, he saw the tzoyim, he said, oh, this is mine. This is what I need to do. This is my mission, and this is what I have to take out. And therefore, with that was revealed his great strength, and he was able to take the stone off the Pi HaBe'er. And if this is true, then we can understand some more difficult things. One thing is that it's obviously something that bothers people right away when they read the parasha. At the first meeting of Yaakov of Lavan, he said, "Avodcha sheva shanim berochel bitzchak tana." It doesn't seem like a very good starting point for negotiations to start out right away with such a major offer, avodcha sheva shanim, especially since, as we know, Chazal said that this shidduch was something that the whole world was talking about already. Right, Hagdolah, that we love Rashi brings, but any later rakas, everyone said already, everyone knew that these families married within each other, and Leah was earmarked for marrying Esau, and Rachel for marrying Yankov. And for this, he comes and he offers right off the bat, Sheva Shalom, to work Sheva Shalom, Rachel B'chas Tano. Especially since we see, like we always know, that when a person jumps on the offer right away and he doesn't argue, must be with a very generous offer. And we don't see that Lavan, we know that Ephron Achiti, after his founding, he started and he asked for a big prize, Abim Shekel Kesef, and here he just took the offer right away. If this was it must have been a very generous offer. So why didn't Yaakov start out with offering him 1 year's worth, 2 years' worth, credit? Well, he'll get back to base. He'll Yashin Yitzchak, he'll bring him a lot of money. Right away, Avodcha Sheva Shalom Baruchel B'tchak Tanah. And another question is that you know that the question that the all the Mepharshim asked, it says, Vayavod Yaakov Baruchel Sheva Shalom, Vayu Benef Kiyov Machodim Vavosar Esau. That the Derech Olam usually is when somebody really wants something, it should seem like an eternity. Even one day seems like an eternity. And here it says, Vavosar Esau, it seems like a short time. But I think, according to the way we're explaining it, we can explain it in the original fashion. But we'll give a muscle first from the way of the world, as the Lahavdol of Doris and to Torah, and bring it down to Yaakov Avinu. If somebody is doing a very tedious work, let's look at something that many of us can relate to. Well, a person is working on the computer, and he needs the computer to do something for him. He's having a very hard time to get the computer to perform, and he tries this way, he tries that way, he tries the other way, and he really is not that computer literate. He's not so interested in computers. He just wants it to do what he wants. Very frustrating work. All along, he's very frustrated. All he wants to do is someone will give him a button to push. And there'll be an automatic macro to do what he needs. He'll be very happy. However, we have someone else who enjoys computer language, and he enjoys the challenge, and he likes writing the program. And then, even if it takes him a long time, because although the end result is not secondary, it might be primary, but he enjoys the work and he enjoys what he's doing, and therefore he could spend hours and hours and hours and hours solving the problem without getting tired, because he's not only interested in the end result, he's very interested by the job in front of him. And if this is true in computers or any other work which we see, which a person is, if he's just working for the paycheck, it can be very difficult. But if he enjoys his work, it seems the time passes easily. And Torah is definitely like that. When a person is trying to work out. He's trying to work out the Pshat and the Gemara. He's working at it very hard. It's very difficult work, but he has an interest in it. The work itself is very interesting to him. It's not just trying to figure out the Pshat and the Gemara, and if someone will hand it to him on a silver platter, he'll be happy. So all the questions and the answers and the working through and all the different tzveikis, all those are very important. They're very important and they're very enjoyable. And he's into it. So therefore, the time passes. All of a sudden, the sun comes up and the night is gone, and he's still working on the same piece of Gemara. The Yaakov Avinu didn't offer to Lavan mere labor the labor of being a shepherd in order to as a payment for Rachel. If that would be true, then it's true. It would have been very tedious, and it would have seemed forever. The only idea was, how is he going to pay? And he's just working hard to make the money to pay for Rachel. Then it would have seemed to him as an eternity. However, the truth was, the reason he came and offered this is he realized himself, although to Lavan he said it's a payment, but he realized that he had a high job in front of him, to work to take out all the Kedusha that there was from Beit Lavan, to make Rachel and Leah and the starring Roy for him. And then we see that he did it again. Again, that when it came to the payments, he also offered a very, very generous deal to Lavan, even though the truth was, in the end, Hashem came and gave all the wealth of Lavan. However, it was avoided for 6 years. Why? He could have just come to Lavan and said, come, pay me, I work for you, pay me for my work. However, there too, he had to distill the good. His work, although to Lavan it was the work of shepherding, for Yaakov Avinu, it was the work of taking out the Kedusha from the house of Lavan. And then he realized in the beginning that it was going to be a work that would take 7 years just to be able to distill the Kedusha that there was in the base Lavan and take Rachel out for him and bring his wife. And therefore, he made this generous offer right at the beginning. So we see then that this special Kayach that he had, that was these curses that were revealed in him when he came by Guy Evans Pia Be'er, that was because he saw in front of him the great job, but it was a job that he was learning the sugya of Rachel. He was learning the sugya of taking out the Kedusha. And therefore the whole time wasn't just a tedious work which he was doing in order for the payment. But rather it was the work of taking out the Kedusha from the house of Lavan, which he had an interest in each day, in each minute of it. He had a special interest. He was building himself. He was building Klal Yisrael. He was building the Emoris through his work for Lavan. So to get back, as I said, maybe it's a remnant, we can apply it to ourselves, of this idea that when a person has his tachlis and he has his purpose, then many things can seem even difficult things can seem easy, and he can take off big stones, move great boulders like a person with a flick of a finger. If we look at those who are chashuvim tameis, so even though there are individual reasons given for each one, but the basic klal of all of them is that the person is not able to fill his tachlis when he's missing one of these things. In other words, if a person is a suma, he's blind. So therefore, he can't relate to people as well. He can't see what's going on, and he can't learn from the world anymore. So therefore, he's chashuv tameis because he can no longer do the things that he needs to do in this world. And especially since it says that Yitzchak Avinu was considered a meis because he had no more Yetzirah. In other words, the person's job in this world is to be misguided over the Yetzirah and to work in this world in bettering himself. However, when the person with the Yetzirah is no longer with him, like Moshe Rabbeinu said, and Bemer Hashim Shana Anochi Hayom, and Yachol Aseisu Avoy, I can't. There's no more. The Yetzirah has left me. I can't go up and down anymore. There's no reason for me to be in this world anymore. So therefore, this person is chashuv tameis because he has no tohelos, he has no tachlis. The same way in Ani, a person, part of a person's job in this world is to be mashpia on others, and to give from his to others. And Ani, who's not able to do that, he's well, a destitute person cannot be a mashpia, he can't give over from his own, therefore he's also choshev kmeis. And a person she'ein rabbanim, that the tachlis of the person is to give over to bring towards prosperity and to build barriers, like we said, loyal servro shevet yitzora. The tachlis of the world is to populate the world, not just populate with people, populate with further barriers going to the Hashem. And a person who ain't born in that way, he's missing part of his job of being a mashpia, of be able to raise his children in the proper way. So he's also chashuv kmeis. So for all these things, we see relate very well to this parsha of Yaakov Avinu, where we see that Yaakov Avinu, when a person he has his tachlis, when he sees his mission, then no job is too difficult for him, and he finds all the kochos which he has, which are deeply sometimes hidden even from him himself, but he can discover all these kochos because he has the purpose, he has the direction which he needs. And Adrabah, on the other side, the Torah's Miram starts that the person could have many kochos, but if he can't, if he's not able to use them properly, it's chashuv kmeis. He doesn't have the possibility, the capability to use his kochos which he has, and therefore it's as if he's already died.